Hey, so I also used to play a lot of rugby, but there was one game where I forgot to bring my rugby boots. That game did not go well. It's amazing, if just one thing goes missing, there's no peace. My wife, Steph, loves to make banana bread. One time she just left out one ingredient. It was a spoon of baking powder. So instead of banana bread, we had banana cake. And, you know, it was okay, but it wasn't good. And you know it's not good when everyone around you tries to tell you, no, it's still good, it's still good. That's when you know, nah, it's not good. It's amazing. If just one thing is missing, there's no peace. It's like when you don't have the Wi-Fi password, or you run out of milk, or you can't find your phone. If one thing is missing, there's no peace. Back in the day, Michael Jordan was the greatest basketball player of all time. He had everything. He won one championship. He won another championship. He won three championships. He had everything you wanted. So he retired. But something was missing. So he came out of retirement to do it again. This time he won another championship, and another championship. He had six championships. He had everything you wanted. So he retired. But something was missing. So he came out of retirement again to do it all over again. But this time, no more championships. I don't think he found what he was looking for. You see, we're all missing something. We're all looking for something. And we look for it in our work, in our hobbies, and our friends, and our family. And those are good things. They're great things. But somehow, something is still missing. But if Michael Jordan can't find what he's looking for, well, what chance do we have? So that's today's question. What am I missing? And how does Christmas give me what I need? And I'm going to try to answer this in the form of a 20-minute talk now. So what am I missing, and how does Christmas give me what I need? And I'm going to suggest three things. The first thing we're missing is this. We need to be helped. I was once running in Central Park in New York City, and I got so lost. I needed a local to help me get unlost. Another time I went to a driving range, I grabbed a bucket of balls, and every ball went the wrong way. I needed help. I needed a professional to show me how to hit that ball straight. Just earlier this year, I was about to give a talk in front of hundreds of high school students. But just before I went up, my youngest son said to me, "Dad," and he looked me in the eye. And I thought he was going to say, "I'm proud of you." But instead he said, "Dad, your zipper is undone." I'm so glad he said that. I needed help. Otherwise, I was going to make a fashion mistake. You see, we all need help. And this is the promise of Christmas, that God sends us help. Hundreds of years before Jesus was born, we get this promise, this prophecy through the prophet Isaiah. And it says this about Christmas. "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor." When Jesus is born 2,000 years ago, God sends Jesus to be our counselor, our helper. Now, as a guy, I find this very humbling. This is a humbling message because guys, typically, we don't like asking for help. I remember one time I was trying to buy a tie in a shop, and I didn't know what tie to buy. Like, are they wearing wide ties, thin ties, plain ties, pattern ties? So this shop assistant comes to me, and she says to me, "Can I help you?" And as a guy, the first thing I said was, "No, I don't need any help. I would rather fumble around by myself in the dark than accept help." So when God says he sends Jesus to be our helper, it's very humbling. So can I humble myself enough to say, you know what, I do need Jesus as my helper. I'm not the person I want to be. I'm not the person I need to be. I need Jesus to be my helper. The second thing that we're missing is this. We need to be saved. Now, as you know, I've got three boys. And part of the fun of having boys is trying to work out what to name them. But by the time we had our third son, we'd run out of good names. Like, we did not know what to name him. But that's when we thought, well, let's give him a sporting name. And we went through the names of all the world surfing championships, champions. And they were names like Wayne, Jai, Kai. But that's when we realized they're the names of all the kids who get in trouble at school all the time. So we thought, okay, let's not do that. But that's when a friend suggested, why don't we name him Jonty? After Jonty Rhodes, the famous South African cricket player. So we thought, yes, let's name him Jonty. And it turned out to be prophetic, because Jonty loves his cricket and he's turned out to be very good at cricket. You see, names have a meaning and they're also a prophecy as well. So what does the name Jesus mean? Well, in the Christmas stories, an angel appears to Joseph, the partner of Mary, and the angel says this to Joseph. An angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, Mary will give birth to a son. Give him the name Jesus. Why? Because he will save his people from their sins. See, in the original Greek and Hebrew, the name Jesus literally means he will save his people from their sins. This means our most basic need is this, we need to be saved from our sins. Now again, as a guy, I don't find this just humbling, I find this insulting. See, I'm doing all right. I don't need anyone to save me. But what if I admit maybe I do need to be saved from my sins? See, I once bought a car, and its most basic problem was it had rust everywhere. And that meant, yes, I could give it a new air conditioner, I could give it a new sound system, but its most basic need was I needed to fix the rust. I have another friend called Malcolm, and this is not his picture, it's a stock photo, but Malcolm does look a little bit like this. Malcolm had to go to hospital. Now, I work as a doctor. I love going to the hospitals. When I go to the hospitals, you know, that's when I can choose, do I want the tea or coffee? Do I want the beef sandwich, the chicken sandwich? But when Malcolm went to hospital, he didn't care about tea or coffee, beef or chicken sandwiches. Those are great things. But his most basic problem was he had cancer. He needed to be cured from his cancer. He went there so they could pump out his disease cells and fill him with healthy cells. So when the Bible says God sends Jesus to save us from our sins, that means our most basic need is we need to be saved from our sins. And that means our most basic need isn't to own more stuff. It's not to live long, have an overseas holiday. Now again, those are good things, they're great things, but our most basic need is we need to be saved from our sins. But what does it mean to be saved from our sins? Well, this is what I call the chicken and egg problem. And we all know the chicken egg problem. From a chicken comes an egg, from an egg comes a chicken. So which one comes first? Well, sin's a bit the same. On the one hand, we're broken. We're not the people we want to be. We're not the people we need to be. We're filled with shame, secrets, skeletons. But because we're broken, we also break things. And one of the things we break are those basic laws that God has programmed into the universe. But because we break things, we end up being more broken. But that's where Christmas breaks the cycle. Because 2,000 years ago, when God sends Jesus, Jesus becomes one of us. And in Jesus, we can have a new nature where we are pure and clean. And then because later at Easter, Jesus dies on a cross in our place, we can be forgiven, innocent, and have a clean record. See, that's how Jesus saves us from our sins. We can have a new nature, a new beginning, and we can be innocent, forgiven, and have a clean record. Well, if the first thing was humbling, if the second thing was insulting, well, you're going to like the third thing, because the third one is my favourite. What's the third thing that we're missing, and what does Christmas give us? Well, the third thing is this: we need to be seen. Now, I've never really liked Tabasco sauce, but I have a friend in the USA called Skylar who loves Tabasco sauce. So one day I was in a cheap restaurant and there was a bottle of Tabasco sauce on the table. So I took a photo of it and I sent it to Skylar in the USA. And he messaged back immediately, "I feel seen." And I thought, huh, what does that mean? It was the first time I heard that saying. But a little later, I was talking to a child parenting expert. And because I'm a man, I thought I should mansplain to her everything I knew about parenting. So I said to her, "Hey, children have two basic needs. They need to know that they're loved, and they need to know that they're safe." But she said, "No, they also need to know that they're seen." I thought, huh, that's the second time I've heard that. What does that mean? But then last year, my wife and I were watching the Netflix documentary on Beckham. Back in his day, David Beckham was the Michael Jordan of soccer, the greatest soccer player of all time. And in the documentary, Beckham describes how before the most important game of his life, he was scanning the crowd to see if he could see the faces of his wife and his mum and dad. He said, "I needed to know that they were seeing me." And he said, "I know it's ridiculous. We're professionals. We do this for a living. But it's only until I knew that they were seeing me that I knew it was going to be okay." See, we have a basic need to be seen. Now, as you heard earlier, I've got three boys, so we do what most parents do. We sign them up for weekend sports. We paid our money, and every weekend we hope that game gets cancelled. Every Friday night we're praying for rain. It's the only thing where you pay your money and you hope you don't get your money's worth. But even worse, my youngest son, Jonty, he chose cricket. You know, thinking cricket, well, I guess we did give him a cricket player's name, but still, cricket, you didn't have to choose cricket. And I'm thinking, why not choose basketball? Why not choose table tennis like all your Asian friends? Why cricket? Because we all know cricket goes for a very long time and nothing ever happens. But when your child goes to bat, every parent drops everything to watch their child bat. Because if your child hits the ball, when they come off, the first thing they ask you is, "Did you see me?" And if you say, "No, I wasn't paying attention," you can see them, oh, deflate. But if you say, "Yes, I saw you. I took joy in you," you can see them get validated. See, we have a basic need to be seen. And that's the promise of Christmas. Hundreds of years before Jesus is born, we have this, we call it a blessing, but it's also a prophecy. And it's a promise of what will happen when Jesus comes on Christmas Day. And the promise goes like this: "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace." See, the promise is this: in Jesus, God turns his face and he sees us. He takes joy in us and he validates us. And if you come from a shame honor culture like an Asian culture, you recognize the face language there. Because in shame honor cultures, if you lose face, you have shame. But if you gain face, you have honor. And that's the promise of Christmas, that in Jesus, God turns his face towards us. He honors us, he validates us. He takes joy in us and he rejoices in us. So do you remember our original question? It was this: what am I missing? And today I've suggested three things. We need to be helped. We need to be saved. And we also need to be seen. And in Jesus, we have a counselor who helps us. We have a savior who saves us. But we also have God's face turning to us and delighting in us. And if we have these three things, then we will have peace. Peace doesn't mean God takes away the pain and the suffering and the disease, but peace means that everything that matters is in its right place and we have God with us. When my son, my youngest son, was little, he had this habit where as he was falling asleep, he would reach out his arm one more time to see if he could touch me, to make sure I was still there. And if I was there, he had peace. And that's the promise of Christmas, that God will be there with us in the dark times and the good times. And that's why in the Bible, Jesus also has the name Emmanuel, which means God with us. God is with us, and that's where our peace comes from. And that's what the angels announced to the shepherds, that Jesus has found them. Because the angels said to the shepherds, do not be afraid. We bring you good news. We bring you great news that will cause great joy for all the people. And what's this good news? Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He's the Messiah, the Lord. Jesus has come and he's found us. But did you notice the shepherds had to opt into this blessing? They then had to go find Jesus. See, God has found us, but we have to opt into this blessing that God promises us. For a long time, I had an iPhone, but my wife, she had an Android. And as you know, iPhones and Androids, they do not talk to each other. They live in different universes. So for Christmas, I finally bought my wife an iPhone. And I instantly thought, oh, what have I done? Because now she can use that Find My iPhone feature and she can find me. She knows where I am. And I'm not sure I want my wife to know where I am. And every now and then on my phone, this bubble pops up that says, your wife is trying to find you. Do you accept? And my finger hovers over that button. Do I accept? And that's the message of Christmas. God is trying to find us in Jesus. So do we accept? But if we do accept, we will have the helper that we're looking for. We'll have the Savior that we need. And we'll have God's face shining upon us, delighting in us. And if we have that, we will have the peace that we're missing. And we'll have the peace that we're looking for.